I want to continue the series we've been on for a little while now. I don't even know which one it is. It really doesn't matter, but it's been a while. We titled it Heroes. Makes it easy because we can just go through and just pick whatever we want, and we don't have to change the slide. We just use the same one. But we're going through the Old Testament and really looking at the lives of men and women of God who trusted God, believed God, and really lived the life of faith. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these things were written for our admonition. And the word admonition, we're not going to put the scripture up there, but it really just means for our instruction. Things in the Old Testament are there for us to learn from. They're given for, we can learn good things and bad. How many know? You live life long enough, you learn good things from your life, and you learn bad things from your life. Amen. Can I get an amen? That's a good place. Okay, because we all have good things in our lives, we all have bad things. But we can read the Bible and see where other people got it right and got it wrong and apply the principle. How many know? It's a whole lot better and painless, okay? A whole lot more painless if we learn off somebody else's mistake. How many know what I'm saying? So the Bible is written, a good portion of it, for us to learn that and to apply it to faith. And so we started a week ago and started talking about the life of Joseph. We could be on this for a couple more weeks. I don't know how long. A couple of years ago, I did a whole series on Joseph, and so we're not going to do that whole thing again. But really, you can learn from the life of Joseph and realize that there's principles in Joseph's life that God takes him through. Really a series of tests, if you will. And you know, that's just what life is. Life is a test. One test to the other, to the next test, to the next test. Getting us really into the plan of God for our lives. Now, God has got a plan that he's chosen for us since before the foundation of the world. But so few Christians really walk in that. Now, we're teaching another series on Sundays titled Supernatural. You want to be out on this Sunday. We're going to talk about more about a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And now, Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with you. But you know, so many people don't take time to really get a hold of God for what the purpose and the plan is of God for their life. And then if they do, if they're lucky enough, I'll just say that, to get a hold of it, if they're blessed enough, if they press in enough, if they're hungry enough, let me just say that. Then so many times we don't get there because when trials and tests come, we kind of give up and we think, well, I guess I was wrong. That's not what God spoke to me. And I've seen so many Christians over the years, they just kind of quit. And they just say, well, you know what? God spoke to me back then, but you know what? I'm just living a normal life now. And I don't want that to happen to you. I want you, every one of you, to fulfill the call and the plan of God for your life. We said before, every one of us is in full-time ministry. And what I mean by that is we all are supposed to be reaching a group of people, individually and corporately as a church, but individually, there is a sphere of influence that God has put you in that you are supposed to reach. Whether it's a place that you work, a place that you go to on a regular basis, your neighborhood or whatever, you have a job so you can have money to live and to give. And then all of us have a plan that God has for us, and we need to get a hold of it. Well, tonight we're going to talk about Joseph. This is number two. It says this in Psalm 75:6. It says, promotion and power come from nowhere on earth, but only from God. All promotion comes from God. That's Psalm 75:6. Do we have that? We don't, okay. Or do we? Is the program working? I don't know. Okay, but that's what it says. Trust me, Psalm 75:6. Promotion comes from God. There it is. For no one on earth, from east or west, or even from the wilderness, should raise a defiant. Well, that ain't it. I don't know. We better figure out what's wrong with that program, because that ain't right. So Psalm 75:6 does not say that. It says that power comes from God. No, it just changed right before our eyes. Let's put that back up there. No, it was right the last time. That's 7. Put 6 up there. Okay, we're not going to see it. All right. Okay. So anyway, so that's the story of Joseph. Is you got to understand that God promotes you. And Joseph learned that, all right? And Joseph, God spoke to him really through a dream and told him about a plan that he would have for his life. But as we mentioned last week, you know that 17 years old is approximately when God spoke to him. And somewhere around 44 is when he was finally reunited. We're not going to go through the whole story tonight, but over the next few weeks we'll touch on most of it. And so by the time he was 44 was when he was finally reunited with his father and his brothers. From 17 to 44. Come on, somebody. That's a life, all right? I don't think life even gets started until 50, but still. God had taken him through a series of tests that really life just has tests that you go through. And God will use those really to fulfill his plan for our life. I believe that you and I need a prophetic word, which I believe tests our faith. And what I mean by that, again, we'll talk more about this on Sunday. We need to hear from Holy Spirit for our life specifically. We'll talk more Sunday. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to say it here because it's a good place. God has a general will for our lives. And usually you can find that out. Most of it you can find out by just reading Scripture. But God has a specific will for your life that he certainly can use Scripture, but he needs to speak that to you by the Holy Spirit. So we need a prophetic utterance. We need a prophetic word from God for so many things. And really, that tests our faith because God says, well, I want you to go and start a business, or I want you to go witness to this person, or I want you to go and reach out over here or go plant something over here like a church or ministry or a Bible study or whatever. That takes faith because you're like, okay, God, I believe. But in general, he says, go ye into all the world and make disciples. That's a general will. This is just a simplified so you understand. But then there's a specific, there's the Atlantic and the Pacific, okay, a specific will for your life that prophetically God wants to speak to you. And so we see that really in the life of Joseph. And just, he was just, God was just leading him through dreams and prophetic utterances and things like that. Last week we talked about pride and how God deals with pride. And we'll probably talk a little more about that tonight. But the best thing that we can do to deal with pride, all right, and live a humble life is to abide in the presence of God. Because you can't get done with humility. You can't think, okay, pride's gone in my life, and you never have to deal with it again. Can I get an amen? I mean, it doesn't, like, go away, and that's the end of it. No, pride is something you have to deal with. I remember just the other day, now, Trish isn't here. If she was, I would still share this. But the other day, I said something to her. We had a staff meeting, and she she said to me, she said, you know, there's times, she says, I'd rather just be your wife and not an employee. And I went, yikes, because the door was getting shut as she was saying this in my office as she was coming in. And so she had to correct me, all right? And I was wrong. How many know that that's, you want to rise up and say, hey, I'm the husband, I'm the pastor, I'm the boss. Do you know right there, you are the boss of no one? Do you realize that? You are not even the boss of you, all right? And I had to sit there and take it. Ugh. Doggone it, I hate it when I'm wrong. Mark is rotten. But humility is really a virtue that we all need. And when you're going through tests, when you're going through life, really pride is something we continually deal with. And the key, I believe, is abiding in him. I want to share a scripture. Really, Paul the Apostle just really, really, I believe, had a handle on this and really lived a life of humility. And you really see it in his writings. And I want to read 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Some of Timothy, there we go, this is good. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God. I want to stop. He says, share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God. Now, how many know that's like, wait a minute, power of God, sufferings, power of God, sufferings? When was the last time you suffered for the gospel? When was the last time you suffered to fulfill the will of God? And you know, the truth of the matter is, in the church in the United States of America, that doesn't happen very often. And just in the topic of money, and we've talked about it before. So if you take all evangelical Catholic churches, everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just in the area of money, and now our church is much higher than this, but the average in this country is 3% of people actually give money. That's just money. Let alone tell somebody that Jesus died for them. So what was the last? There's times, if you're living a life for Christ, you are going to suffer some kind of persecution. If God has spoken a dream to you, you are going to suffer as you live that dream out. You're going to be inconvenienced. But he's saying the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles. Now, you may not be a preacher, an apostle, or a teacher, but you need to know what God's called you to do. What he has called and gifted you. Matter of fact, if you get on our website, we have a free gifts test that anybody can take there. It's under About Us, and if you follow the links, where is it? It's About Us and for the spiritual gifts test that we've got on the it's under About Us. You can find it if you get to that page. If you get to our website, get on the website, go to About Us. It'll take you there. Free spiritual gifts test. It'll help you out a little bit. But he says here, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. For I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I... What have you committed to the Lord in your life? I'm talking about in the area of gospel and suffering and fulfilling the call of God. Paul was seeking God first. He was not seeking the dream. And I've seen people do this too. We get a vision from God, and it's like that's all we think about. If our dream becomes more important than the presence of God in our lives, we're in trouble. If everything we do, if we start to make decisions where we start to not honor the values that God has put in our lives just to get to that goal and that dream, we're in trouble. We are right there. We have set ourselves up, even if we get there, and I say if, it is going to take us a whole lot longer because we have really lost. This is what the Bible talks about in Revelation. We don't have time to go there tonight. It says you've lost your first love. We start to get caught up in the call and the gift and the dream of God, and we lose our first love. Listen, nothing's more important. You got to hear this. Nothing's more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing. Don't let something get in the way of that, even a good thing. Paul wasn't seeking a position. He was always seeking God. It's better to chase after the one who gives the dream than to chase the dream. Come on, somebody. If you want to know what God has dreamed for your life, get to know him better. Get to know him as friend. Again, we'll talk more about that on Sunday. Matter of fact, I want to give you a scripture here that will help us out. Not in my notes. I'm just making it harder on you here, Zach. I want to look up another scripture. This is Proverbs 19:21. We need to have the dream, the vision that God has for our lives. Look what it says here. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. The Lord's counsel. You know, we could all have lots. How many know we got thoughts and dreams and stuff? I mean, I've told so many stories. I'm not going to take a bunch of time on one of my own tonight. I've done that in the past. Matter of fact, I remember at one point in my life, I had a very good friend of mine, Bernie Blaukamp, a pastor, a friend. He's on our board and still I'm one of my accountability partners. And I remember he called me the Joseph man at one time just because of some things in my life. But the thing is, I had all these thoughts and I had this idea of how God was going to reach the nations through my life. And he does want to, and he is now, and your life. If you go to this church and if you just give and are involved in ministry in this church, you are reaching the nations. Get on our missions page. Last year, we gave almost 18% to other missions outside of our church. We're just going to keep doing more. But I had this idea. I knew how God was going to do it. How many ever got an idea how God would do something? It will mess you up. I'm just saving you off the scriptures example and my example. Learn from us. It will go quicker if you just fall in love with Jesus and stay in love with Jesus. That's what works. If all you think about is a dream or your calling and everything... I'm going to read this because it was really a good thought, and that's why I wrote it down. If all you think about is your dream or your calling, and you do everything you can do to make it happen, then it's more important than he is. But I pray. Well, you can pray all you want. But if we're always trying to make things happen, we are not trusting God. You're going to have trouble fulfilling it. Psalm 37:3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart because we're delighting in him. I like what it said in verse 3. We just read it. It says that trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on what? His faithfulness. It's the faithfulness of God that we need to learn how to feed on. All right? It's the faithfulness of God. And that can take some work. All right? That can take some work. Now, I didn't read the scripture. I got all messed up when that wrong scripture came up. But Genesis 37:5, just so you know, we really are still talking about Joseph. It says, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. And we dealt with that last week. There are times that people are just going to hate you because of the call of God on your life. They're going to. I had so many people when I knew the call of God on my life and started to pursue God and started to prepare for whatever He had for my life. I had people that thought I was crazy. Wouldn't want to have nothing to do with me. Stop hanging out with me. I had family members tell me I was a lunatic, and I was. Praise the Lord. But see, this happened with Joseph, and he told his brothers, and we talked last week again. You know, tell the right people at the right time what God's put on your heart. That's just good advice, all right? Get a small group of people that will pray with you, and then, you know, walk in faith. Because I've seen so many people in church, and some of you know what I'm talking about, that just come in, and their life is just out of whack. I mean, nothing is working. I'm an apostle. Really? Well, what have you apostled? And you start to find out what they apostled, and you find out they are not an apostle. They're not even an epistle because their character is no good. We're living epistles. Epistle's a letter. Okay. It was kind of a joke, but nobody caught it except me, but that's all right. But, don't run around telling everybody what you are. I mean, I told very few people. When I sensed the call to pastor, I told a couple people because I really didn't know what it meant. I did not, you know. Matter of fact, now you can call me pastor if you want to, but it's like I understand there's honor with that and stuff, and I don't want to belittle that, but just call me Tony, really, because I'm Tony. I mean, I have a gift to pastor, but you know what? So people get so caught up in labels and tags, and, you know, I'm called to be this, and I'm a missionary. Well, then be a missionary where you are. When was the last time you led someone to the Lord? When was the last time you brought someone to church? Missionary starts, okay, all right. We can go on and on, but I won't because I want to get back to Joseph. Tonight I want to talk about, last week we talked about pride quite a bit, and we'll get into that a little bit tonight, but I want to talk about the principle of the pit. You know, life can have pits. How many notice that? When you had other plans, life just kind of happens. Things could seem to be going really well, but then all of a sudden, bam, a pit. Having a pit experience or several is inevitable. You're going to have them, all right? What matters is how well we direct our attitude while we're in the pit, all right? How well I direct my attitude and all the virtues that God has taught me already. You don't just leave them all when you go through a pit experience or a challenge or a test. Genesis 37, 18. Speaking of Joseph, it says, now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. See, they hated him. Okay. It says, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. And I want to just say this, that sometimes other people can be your problem. Now, we said last week, and we just mentioned it, Joseph, you know, shouldn't have told his brothers. And I have this feeling, just because here's the thing. When you read scripture, you got to remember that these are real people, okay? They are real people, and not every single thing that happened in their life is recorded in scripture. But the fact they say, there's that dreamer, they had a little bit of an attitude. Because I have this feeling, the Bible says he was his father's favorite. And he had this wonderful, wonderful coat on of many colors. And I can just see with the attitude, he was probably like, yeah, you know, I'm going to rule over you. I'm so cool. And they're like, we're just going to figure out. Sometimes people can be your problem, no question. There's always going to be someone who doesn't want your dream to come to pass, who thinks you're full of yourself, saying you can't do that. Who do you think you are anyway? You know, but many times you're the problem. We don't want to hear that. They called him dreamer. I think sometimes, you know, maybe he should have been dreaming less and working more. You say, well, why do you say that, Pastor? We'll read it in a minute, but he goes out to look for his brothers, and here's the thing. His father tells him to go look for his brothers. All right. If your father tells you to go look for your brothers, all right, I mean, no, you expect him to know where to look. But he has to ask somebody. The Bible says he was wandering. We'll get there in a minute. See, I just feel that, and here's what wandering means. Wandering means to vacillate, or he was a dreamer, and a man had to direct him. See, I have this feeling that there was a time in Joseph's life that he was so concerned with the dream that he was just kind of exalting himself over his brothers. That's why they developed this attitude towards him. The truth is that life is going to have pits that you and I go through. And the pits are there to resist the dream that God has given you. Like we read here, they said, we'll throw him in a pit and we'll see what becomes of his dreams. The devil wants you to believe that. We'll see what becomes of your dreams now. When you go through a pit, the devil's saying, what's going to happen to your dreams now? But see, God has wants to use the pit to bring about the plan of God into your life. And he wants all things to work together for your good. Psalm 37:21. It said, but Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and he said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, which so we might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and they cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Let me just say, when you're in a pit, if you're going through a pit experience, you are alone. And there's no water in it, okay? There are times you are going to feel dry. There's times you're going to feel like, my goodness, what is going on? You know, that's when you got to dig deeper. You got to dig deeper. You don't quit. You can dig in. You dig in. You dig in. The voices are going to say your destiny is unsure. Even those closest to you can't help. You're going to have thoughts, and the devil's going to plant seeds saying, does God really have your best interest in mind? So if you're going through a pit tonight, let me just encourage you. God is going to use that pit to get you right on track. Don't you allow the devil's voice to be louder than the word of God in your life. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, Jesus said, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. See, trouble is a result of a fallen world. Sometimes things just happen. And other times, I believe we invite them. But we've got to really, I think, just have a good understanding about what we're going through in our lives. We've got a good, healthy understanding about who we are, where God has taken us from, what our relationship with him is like, how our relationship and interaction with other people are. We've got to always be open to correction and instruction. You can't get off this pattern. If you want to grow and fulfill what God has put you on, you cannot. First, you got to get on this path. But then you got to stay on it, all right? No matter what the reason is that you're in a pit, it's always good practice to ask God to reveal what you can learn from the pit that you're in. Now, you might be here tonight and say, well, I'm not in a pit. You're going to be. You're going to be in a place. You and I need to apply these in our lives regularly. And someone will not do this for you, by the way. Like it or not, most times, the reasons that we're facing a pit really have to do with something that we did. But we're in a society where we just have this victim mentality. It's always somebody else's fault. And bad things happen to good people. I realize that. But you realize you and I have got to have a good perspective that, look, whatever I'm going through, probably some decisions or choices that I made that helped to get me here. Come on, somebody. And you got to be open about that. If you can't be, you can forget about, remember we talked about humility, and we're going to look at some scriptures in a minute. You got to stay humble. I've got to stay humble. When Trish, I mentioned you were out, I mentioned when you talked to me the other day and you told me, you know, the way I treated you, and I had to receive that. You know, I didn't like that, but I had to receive that, you know. Then I pout my lip and say, you still love me, don't you? Okay. And, you know, but we need to be able to. And she was so respectful. She's so good at this. I mean, so respectful. Sits down, closes the door, says, I need to tell you something. And she looks me in the eye, and she tells me, and I'm like, well, aren't you just perfect at that? She's just so honorable and so respectful. I mean, really. But you got to be open to that. I wanted to say, get out of my office. All right? But like it or not, whatever we're in, it might have something to do. We always think it's somebody else's fault. Well, I did that because of this. Or because, you know, if things... Okay, if you're waiting for the perfect day, wake up. You are dreaming, okay, because it ain't coming. You're not going to get up tomorrow and all your problems are gone. Unless you just don't get up. But if you stay in bed long enough, you're going to have even more problems. All right. So you'll never get a perfect day. All right, dreamer? We need to learn to be honest with ourselves and allow God to bring us out. And whether you're going through a pit or not, this is a really good principle. Humility is the key. Am I teachable? Am I teachable? And you know, it's not just Trish. I've got some people very close to me in this congregation who can question me, who can tell me, you know, you're off. The men that are on my board can question me. I'm always developing relationships with people for that reason. But I think it's very possible that pride had something to do with the pit that Joseph got thrown into. Okay? Really, I do. I think when you see some of the ways and the attitudes his brothers had, it can't all be on them. Come on, somebody. It had to be something he was also doing for them to call him dreamer and to hate him so much. The thing is, God has given us wonderful gifts, but if those gifts consume us or if we forget that they are gifts, we may find ourselves in a pit. If those gifts consume us or we forget that they're gifts, it's not something we earned, we could find ourselves in a pit. And if you're in the pit, the enemy is going to tell you lies. We're not going to turn here, but Revelation 12:10, it calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. The devil will accuse you, and he'll beat you up, and he'll come. Paul the Apostle, in one place in Scripture, he talks about a messenger of Satan that has come to buffet him. And what that means is to beat over and over again. Beat over and over again. All right? And that's what he does. He accuses. And he'll say things like, you are never going to get out of this pit. God doesn't love you anymore. Your life will never change. You will never amount to anything. Everyone else gets the breaks, but your life just stinks. How many ever heard stuff like that? Come on, be honest. You know, that is the devil. That is not God. God does not talk to his children like that. We got to get that whole thought out of there. God loves you. The devil hates you, all right? And he will come and he will just buffet you and beat on you and accuse. The accuser will say, look at what God did to you. He put you in this pit because he doesn't like you. Look at what he let happen to you. This is God's fault. If God loved you, none of this would ever happen to you. This is what the accuser does. And he comes. That is a lie. That is a lie. All right, things that happen to us, negative things, bad things in this life, really are because of the fall of man. God so loved the world that he what? Gave Jesus for us. God loves us so much. The devil will say he doesn't care about you. That is a lie. And really, there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. I believe that there needs to be some conviction in our lives, but conviction really will allow God to correct us, to help us, and get us back on the right path. But God does it through love and repentance and forgiveness. The devil will come and he'll just condemn and condemn and condemn. He'll say, it's all over. Why would you call out to God for help now? If you have those kind of thoughts, that is the devil and you need to take authority. The Bible says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You got to take thoughts captive. All right? The words of your mouth are extremely important. But you got to take your thoughts captive. You cannot, every thought that pops into your head is not worthy of thinking on. How many know that? All right? You must resist the lies of the enemy. You cannot live a life listening to the enemy. You can't, well, you can, but your life will not amount to what, as much as God wants you to have. Don't listen to those voices. James 4:7, look what it says. He says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The way you get the devil off your back is to submit to God. And what does that mean? That means you submit everything to him. Lord, I'm in this pit right now, but I know that you have nothing but good things for me. Lord, I submit to you my life. It doesn't mean like, oh, Lord, look, thank you for not beating me. Thank you, God. I thank you for this pit, but I'm glad you're not making it anywhere. Submit is submitting my life to him openly. That I know these bad things didn't come from your hand. I know you have nothing but good, but I submit my life to you. It's like Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Knowing that no matter what happens, because you even see at the end of the story of Joseph in Genesis 50:20, it says what you, his brothers, he was talking to you, what you meant for evil, God has made and turned around for good so that many lives would be saved. So no matter what you're going through, understand the outcome is God wants people to hear the gospel. No matter what. No matter what. I can remember one time when I was working a job. Very challenging thing I was going through. But I can remember there was a time where I was at work and I just had a bad day. And it wasn't, I didn't cuss or anything like that, but I was grumpy and crabby and nasty and mean. And I felt like there was this guy who was nasty, crabby, mean, and he cussed and told stupid, dirty jokes all the time. All right? This guy, if he came around, I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. I mean, he told me dirty jokes. And there were times I'd look at him, I'd say, did you make that up? That is not even funny. I'm sorry. But this guy, he was kind of that, just rude, okay? I don't know how else to put it. God loves him, but he was rude. And I kind of lost my temper because he needed some help one day unloading his truck, and I was busy. And I'm like, it was almost quitting time. And this guy, who's nasty and mean and tells bad, made-up, dirty jokes, needs my help. Oh. But, you know, I had a bad attitude. I helped him, and I was just nasty and mean and throwing things and all that. The next day, the Lord told me I had to go apologize to this guy. Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Him? All right. And I did. And I'll tell you, that opened up a door where I was able to, my relationship with that guy totally changed from that day forward. Totally changed. We never became best friends, okay? But he, from that day forward, he didn't tell bad jokes in my presence. He watched what I'm telling. As God is my witness. All right, humility, but submitting to God. Resist the devil; he'll flee. So you got to submit to God and resist the devil if you want the devil to flee. Most people listen to the lie of the devil, don't pray, don't submit, and wonder why the devil's always on their back. Hello. All right. He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I mean, no, we got to draw near to him first. He's available. He's always there. But you got to make the decision to draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, when we're not allowing the thoughts of God to be our thoughts, we are what the Bible calls double-minded, or another translation says double-souled. All right? Double-souled. It's really like a marriage that isn't in right relationship. Because, you know, that's what we have. That's right. We have a marriage with Jesus because we're the bride of Christ. So it's there. All those, we've talked about that before. But that's what that is. When you're double-souled, it's like you know, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? How many know there's a scripture that tells us that? And that's what's happening. You're never, and the Bible says when you live that way, your prayers will not get answered. All right? And you'll start to think things like, I should have got that job. I'm never going to get promoted. We'll never have enough money. We'll never get that house that God promised. I married the wrong person. Our personalities are just opposite. They'll never work. We shouldn't be together. The psychiatrist's test said that we're incompatible. And all these things, and the devil will just, he'll just tell you thing after thing after thing after thing. Now, I want to turn to a scripture. It wasn't in my notes. I added this after I put these together. But I'm going to let Zach look this up. This is 1 Peter. And I want to show you a little bit more about how the devil works. And if you want the devil off your back, the things we're talking about tonight, you need to apply them. They work. They really do. This is 1 Peter 5. I'd like to read the New Living Testament. New Living Testament, 1 Peter 5. We're going to start to read in verse 5. It says, in the same way, younger men must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, is that you? All right. Serve each other in humility, or submit to one another, it says in another translation. He says, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Talking about humility, submitting to God, submitting to people, humbling ourselves before people. Are you with me? All right, so we're, God, you know, God, even in one translation, it says God resists the proud. Do you know that when you do not have a humble attitude, God is resisting you? Yikes. I don't know about you, but I don't want God resisting me. He's the author and finisher of everything. Why would I want him saying, can't help you? but he gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, the what time? He will lift you up in honor. All right? God wants to honor you, but at the right time. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, knowing he cares for you, it says in King James. It says, stay alert. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for whom to devour. Now let's think about the whole thought here. So here's the devil. He is looking whom he can devour. He is walking around like a roaring lion, looking who he's going to attack. And the ones he's going to attack are the ones who are not humbling themselves, that God is resisting because they're proud. Are you with me? Because what happens, listen carefully, when we are not humble, we don't have fellowship with God, and we don't have fellowship with other believers. When we live a life of pride, and you know, we may not even know that we're in pride. Let me help you. If you don't have someone that you can be honest to that can tell you you're wrong, you're there. You just don't know it. And that is who the devil will pick off. Why? Because it's easier. It's like Dwayne Vanderclock says this, Pastor Dwayne. He loves bananas. I love bananas. He says, what's the first banana to get eaten in the house? The one that's the first off the bunch. That's what. See, when you have fellowship with one another, when you submit one to another, you're in a group. You have safety. But as soon as you get in pride, you have cut yourself off from your brothers and sisters, and God is resisting you, and the devil is licking his chops. Come on, somebody. That's how this works. And you see people all the time not plugged into a church, don't have a good accountability group, don't really have someone who can tell them they're wrong. We're good at getting people around us to say, yeah, oh, you're the best thing. Go for it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're the best. Oh, you're the greatest. Oh, you're the nicest. We love that, don't we? Oh, yeah. So we get a few people that agree with us, and that's all we know. You need someone who can say, you are wrong. You have left your values, and you're pursuing something and forgetting what God has done to this point in your life. We need that. We need it. It's like, whack. All right? But the people that really get picked off are people that don't have that in their lives, aren't praying, aren't humbling themselves before God. I'm not talking you got to read 30 scriptures, you know, 30 chapters of the Bible a day. That's a whole other issue. We've talked about that. I'm talking about having genuine humility and fellowship with God. Matter of fact, it says in the book of John, that how can you say you love God who you don't see if you don't love your brother or have fellowship with your brother who you do see? And that fellowship, part of fellowship is being able to speak into one another's lives. Being able to speak into one another's lives. We all need that. Every one of us. None of us is alone. All right? The Bible really is a message of restoration. God is in the restoration business. So no matter what you're going through, be encouraged tonight that the pit that you're in or the pit you're going to be in will not last forever. God is in the business of restoring you and giving back all, say all, that the enemy has stolen. It says in Isaiah 66 that instead of your shame, that's how it says it in King James. Instead of your shame, you will have double. Say double. Double portion. Another translation says double honor. Another translation says double money. That's really it. Double pay. Somebody once said, double for your trouble. But it's true. See, God wants to take and give you double instead of your shame. I love the way it says that because you can even mess up. It could be shame that should come on you, but how many know in the kingdom of heaven there is no shame? He has taken it and he has wiped it away. Any mistake that you have made, even if you brought the pit on yourself, God is here to forgive you and to set your feet upon a rock. What does it say in Psalms? It says that he has taken me out of the miry clay and he has set my feet upon a rock. God is here to take us out of whatever we're facing, to get us back into fellowship with one another, to get us back into fellowship with him. If you've messed up along the way, if you've done something wrong, get back on track. Ask God to forgive you and get back on track and see God start to work a miracle in your life. The purpose of the pit is to get us to cry out to God, to humble our heart before the Lord, to receive his correction and his instruction. And you can tell when you're in a pit. You might be going through the motions, but you know something ain't right. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Jonah said this in 2:2. Jonah 2:2. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Now, I want to leave you with one more scripture, then we're going to dismiss. Psalm 32. Perfect picture, I believe. It's a great prayer, a great posture of prayer, a great teaching on prayer. In Psalm 32, that really shows us how to apply the forgiveness that God gives us, and how to pray, how to confess sins, and how to receive what God has done and allow God to start to speak into our life. It's a perfect picture. And you see this pattern in Psalms quite a bit, but I don't think there's a better example of it than Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 3. He says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. I mean, no, if you don't have someone you can talk to or confess to, if you just continue to walk in pride, you can feel old and groany. It says, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Remember, God resists the proud. This is Bible, all right? Doesn't mean he don't love you, but when we're in pride, there's nothing there, all right? He says, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. And then he says, Selah. He says, think about it. Think about it. Meditate. Muse. All right? Boy, I tell you, we have got to learn how to just be quiet in God's presence and let him minister to us. Not be in a hurry, you know? God's not a quick fix. He really isn't. And if we think he is, we might read the Bible once in a while. We might think we're praying, but we're going to find another quick fix to meet that need, because God is not a quick fix and can't be. All right? Say Selah. All right. He says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. When was the last time you were forgiven? The last time you confessed. You're forgiven anyway, but it's good for your soul to get things out. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are on your way to heaven. Sins you've committed in the past and the present and the future are forgiven. But when you confess it, it's good for your soul. It gets it off your mind. How many know what I'm talking about? All right? Get it out. Clean your soul out. Holding on to bitterness or resentment, unforgiveness will keep us in a pit. Confession opens and restores. Sin is gone and righteousness is ours. It says that he made him who knew no sin to be the righteousness of God for us, so we could be his righteousness. He made sin for us, so we could be his righteousness, rather. Psalm 32, verse 6, he says, for this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. I love this here, because what you see happening is he says, I've kept silent. My bones grew weary from my groaning all day long. Your hand was heavy. You're resisting me. But now I confess my sin. Are you with? He's praying. I confess it, Lord. I have allowed my actions to keep you and your mercy and your grace at arm's length. And he's saying, you'll preserve me. You'll surround me with songs of deliverance. It says Selah again. Think about it. But here's where it really gets good. All right, he's prayed. He's confessed that, Lord, your hand is heavy upon me because I've resisted you, because I've been proud. But now I confess my sin to you. I receive your forgiveness. I confess that you're going to preserve me from trouble, that you're my hiding place, that you surround me with songs, that you deliver me, oh God. Now listen what happens. God starts to speak. If you don't get to this point, God's not speaking in your life. Well, he's speaking, but you're not hearing it. Let me put it that way, okay? Because he goes and he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eyes. He goes on and says, don't be like the mule or the donkey that needs a bridle and a bit. I mean, no, God doesn't want to drag us around. God wants us to be led by mercy, by grace, because that's what makes us strong. Let's pray tonight. Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you're always instructing, correcting, loving us. You're so good. You're so good to us. Now, you're here tonight, and either you're in a pit or you realize tonight that you're really got some pride that God wants to deal with. You need to work on some humility. If that's you, lift your hand up. I want to pray with you. I see that. Anybody else? I see that. Awesome. Put your hand down. Thank you. Thank you. just whatever it is, because you know what it is, just open up to the Lord. Just get that thing out. You can speak it out. You can speak it under your breath, whatever. Just get it out of your soul. Father, I thank you that right now we are getting free from burdens. Every person that has lifted their hand, that they are free of the thing that has been keeping you at arm's length. I pray that you bring mercy and grace. Surround them with songs of deliverance. Start to instruct them and lead them and guide them in the way they should go. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, you can know. You can know tonight that you're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And it's not about a bunch of works. It's not about joining this church. It's about receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it's a simple prayer that I want to offer you. And I've got a book that goes with it that I want to get into your hands. Because I want to give you the book, I'm going to ask you in just a moment, if you want to pray and know, I mean, there's no greater thing than knowing that you're on your way to heaven. You're here right now and you doubt. You've got any measure of doubt as to whether you're saved. There's a real hell, and I'm going to have to preach a message on it real soon. Because I'll tell you, there is a real hell, and it is not a place you want to go. God sent the answer, and it's Jesus. It's as simple as receiving Jesus. People say, well, my life would have to change. No, your life will change. You don't have to do anything except pray. Well, God will take all my fun away. No. Why would God take your fun away? What? This is the lies of the enemy. And you're here tonight and say, Pastor, pray with me. I want that book. On the count of three, I want to see your hand. One, two, three. Lift your hand up. Say, pray with me, Pastor. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm right with God. Anyone here, you have doubt, you don't know, don't leave and think I should have lifted my hand. All right. Okay. All right. Let me pray over you tonight. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, go ahead and look this way. If you're a first-time guest with us, we have something we call a welcome.